Jamie.
I'm Emily.
Each week we will break down a topic from Billy Joel's song, We Didn't Start the Fire. We'll take turns being the expert each week as we dive into these people, events, etc. Disclaimer, if you are already a history buff, this podcast is not for you. If you are just a sweet dum-dum like us and want to know a little more, you're in the right place. Today's topic that you've been waiting for is Chubby Checker.
Chubby Checker.
Do you know of Chubby Checker?
No, but I have guesses about what Chubby Checker is.
Do you know?
So it kind of, at first it makes me think of it's a food restaurant, but that can't be right.
Checkers and Rallies?
Yeah, like Checkers, which I've actually never been to.
I haven't either.
It sounds like someone's checking to see if someone else is fat.
It has so many ideas of what it could mean.
Okay, what is it really? We will
discuss. It's a human.
It's a person.
A person.
A guy.
A guy. A singer guy.
Okay.
You'll know his song for sure.
Cool.
Chubby Checker. He was actually not born with the name Chubby Checker. What?
Well, you said the way you said that, like he was not born. Like usually we start like he was born on March 7th, and you're like he was not born. Okay, sorry.
With the name Chubby Checker.
Chubby Checker is not his God-given name. Okay.
Yes, if you could believe it.
Shocked.
He was born in 1941 as Ernest Evans.
It's a good name.
Mm-hmm. In Spring Gully, South Carolina.
Sounds made up.
Ernest Evans. So much of this is going to sound made up because it's too bananas to even, and like in the dumbest ways, in my opinion. But hold on to your butt. He moved then with his family to the projects of South Philly, and he was raised alongside his two brothers with his parents, Raymond and Ertl.
Ertl.
Ertl. He was in a street corner harmony group at age 8 and took piano, and he was really good at impressions, and so he would, like, impress his friends with his impression of Elvis, and Fats Domino was another guy that he would do, and he worked really hard to support his family. At a young age, he worked at a bunch of jobs, and he worked at an Italian market and a produce market. He was just a market worker. And that's actually where he got the nickname Chubby. I don't quite know why he was given the nickname Chubby.
Was he chubby?
I mean, if you look at a picture of him now, you could kind of, he has cheeks.
Okay.
But that's where he got the nickname Chubby. And the owner of the market knew a songwriter and pulled some strings and got him on American Bandstand with Dick Clark.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like he just was this guy who knew kid who knew how to do some impressions and was pretty good, and knew a guy who knew a guy. And so he went to a recording session, and he actually got his stage name Chubby Checker from Dick Clark's wife.
Oh, funny.
So yeah, his wife asked him what his name was, and he's like, "Well, my friends call me Chubby." And he had just completed a Fats Domino impression, and she smiled, and she was like, "Chubby, as in checker?" And there was like a little play on words of like chubby describing a degree of fatness, like fats, and then checkers being like dominoes, a table game. So she was being cheeky and got an instant laugh, and then it just stuck, and so he used the name Chubby Checker.
Nice.
So it's like
Fats Domino. So it's a play on Fats Domino.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
So, yeah, he had an act for impressions, and Dick Clark really liked him. And he was hired to do a skit kind of sorts where he was a school teacher, and he had a group of unruly music students. And he did, like, a ton of impressions singing Mary Had a Little Lamb of, like, each of those different, like, Elvis or Fats Domino singing Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Okay.
I tried to find it, but I couldn't. But Dick Clark loved it. It never aired, but he used it as a Christmas card greeting or something like that.
Sure.
And the right people liked it because Dick Clark knows people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was signed to a record contract with Cameo Parkway, which was a recording company.
At the time.
At the time. And he had his first single come out in 1959 that topped out at number 38 on the charts. So that brings us to when he was 18, when his hit song, the hit song, The Twist, came out.
The Twist.
You know The Twist.
I do know The Twist.
We'll play you The Twist in case you live under a rock.
Let's listen to it.
Because you could maybe not know.
Maybe you're not familiar.
Everyone knows it. So that happened when he was 18. He came out with that. And
wow.
It was number one. And it was actually, I didn't know this, it was already a hit at the time that it came out. It came out in 1960. In 1959, it was recorded by the person who wrote it, Hank Ballard. And him and his band, The Midnighters, performed it.
God, I want to be part of a group called The Midnighters.
Right? That's cool. They looked suave, too. Mm. It was cool. With them, it peaked at number 16, but Chubby Checker's Twist was a nationwide smash hit, and it's probably because he was, like, on Dick Clark or on mm-hmm. American Bandstand, and, like, people started to know him. So that song is that song. That's why he is famous.
Yeah.
That is really – I could end this episode.
I was going to say, does he have other songs that I would know?
Yes. There's one other song that I knew, but he has a lot of other music. He is still, to this day, and I'll get there, still to this day, trying to be relevant.
Well, because I was going to say, he was born in 1941, so he's
77.
70, yeah. I was not going to pretend like I could do the math.
I think I had already done the math, so I think his birthday is October 3rd, though, so...
coming up.
So, yeah. So, I will not end this episode because
we're only 8 minutes in.
Can't. And there's just so much more about your life that, or about his life that, like, your life would be impacted if you didn't know. Oh. It's ridiculous.
What else about Ernest?
So, that song came out, and mm-hmm. a lot of critics only felt that that was the type of music that he could succeed at, like, mm-hmm. doing as an artist because he was, like, that's what he was typecasted as, a dance artist. And he was bummed about it because he was doing nightclub performances and he liked doing the impressions and he wanted to kind of be a TV star, movie star type of person, not mm-hmm. just that singer. But it got so out of hand that, like, nobody ever really believed that he had talent, he felt like. But he kept persevering. And by 1965, The Twist had sold over 15 million copies. And won, like, gold discs. Like, it was, like, still a huge deal. So even though it wasn't what he was going for, he found happiness. And he did end up writing many other dance hits for the time. I don't know any of these. But The Hucklebuck. The Fly.
Wow.
Dance the Mess Around.
Dance the Mess Around.
And Pony Time.
That's for grown-ups.
Pony Time was the biggest hit of all of those follow-ups and got to number one.
What is Pony Time?
I don't know.
I might have to investigate.
We might. So, like, they were all similar in style to The Twist, where it was, like, that dance hit. But then the 60s wasn't the 60s anymore, and the taste of music of the world changed.
Right.
So he still kept making music, but he wasn't really doing it in the U.S. He toured Europe, and that kind of continued for the decades into the 70s, 80s, and 90s. He was big in Europe. He also, if found a little bit about how he recorded a psychedelic album.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
With current music.
You know you're relevant when you use the word current in whatever you're doing.
The album was originally called Checkered.
Cool.
But it went as other names to try to get more publicity. It was even produced by Ed Chaplin, who was also Jimi Hendrix's producer. So, like, okay. It had all the oomph behind it, but it was definitely a flop.
Oh, like, it looked good on paper, but didn't play.
Yeah, yeah. But he tried. He really wanted to stay relevant.
Aww.
He has stayed relevant mm-hmm. in a few other ways, for better or for worse, since then.
Uh-oh.
I will go in chronological order of the things that I have found
Uh-oh.
About Chubby Checker's life. So I'll start. So, I mean, he basically dabbled around Europe playing smaller shows here and there, The Twist, his other hits. The other hit that you would know is the Limbo Rock.
Do I?
I think you would.
I think it would be familiar to me if I heard it.
Yeah, it's like, it's the Limbo. Dun, 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 dun,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dun, yeah, that one.
Okay.
So that got him to number two, but that was like his last huge success back then. So we're going to flip ahead to 2000.
Wow.
So this was commemorating 40 years of The Twist. He branched out into the snack food business.
Okay. So much to process in that last sentence.
To commemorate 40 years of The Twist. So he came out with chocolate checker bars.
Okay.
Beef jerky. Hot dogs. And popcorn.
Okay, so beef jerky, hot dogs, popcorn, and what was this other thing?
Chocolate checker bars.
Yep.
And also Girl of the World water. Which he dedicated to his wife, which was kind of cute. But
Girl of the World water.
Yeah, I think it was just like bottled water with like a branding on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he also has all of this advertised on the Checkerlicious Express.
What the hell is happening right now?
Right? This is a real thing. Okay. He has a website. You can find all of this on. It's not even like I did Wikipedia some... A lot mm-hmm. of this, but like...
As we do.
As we do, to give you the most research that we can, you know, all of the info. We do this for you, fans. But he has a website that can show you the Checkerlicious Express, which is a coach bus that he proudly bought in Zimmerman, Minnesota.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he souped it up. There's pictures of the inside. So if you see it around advertising the beef jerky on the outside, it's red. He likely is driving it. Chubby Checker.
He drives it. So yeah. What does he do with this?
He goes around to perform places.
Wow.
And has since 2000.
Just bringing his beef jerky and his special girl water.
You can buy beef jerky online still.
Did you?
It's $10 a bag.
Wow. You've got to want it.
I do want it bad.
I mean, it better be good for $10
oh
a bag.
Oh, God. I know. How many ounces are we talking? I don't know.
That can't be that much. That's wild.
Yeah. I would recommend looking. It's pretty epic. In 2002, he protested outside of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because he felt that The Twist had been snubbed from the Hall of Fame because it wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And he felt that he was being excluded.
So he protested.
So he protested. So he is a fan of himself is what I have gotten.
You got to be your biggest fan.
Yeah. And good for Chubby. He did. He did.
I mean, yes.
Also in 2002, he had a new single, which I had never heard of. I know. Called Knock Down the Walls.
Yeah, sure.
That happened. But, like, he's still making
music. I was going to say, these like, are now, like, not... what's so bizarre is usually in most of our episodes, we never get to a point in which we're alive.
Yeah.
Like,
we were in high school. Alive. Like, we would have, it was like a soft rock.
Okay.
Kind of a hit. So,
wasn't not necessarily our style. On our radar. I was listening to Linkin Park in 2002. And No Doubt.
Yes. Solid No Doubts listenings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also, Billboard magazine named The Twist the biggest chart hit of all time in 2002. So that must have made him feel.
That's a bold statement.
Great, yeah. But that's what they thought.
Okay.
Billboard magazine, gospel.
Yeah.
In 2009, mm-hmm. did a PSA for Social Security.
Well, he's getting up there, isn't he?
Yeah. And he, you know, he did this to promote the changes that were happening in Medicare at the time. And he encouraged people to get help with the new twist in law to get cheaper prescription drug costs. Or to get...
Yeah.
For people to ask for help if they needed cheaper prescription drugs. So he did that PSA.
That dad joke just killed me.
Yeah.
I am deceased.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was doing it for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he had come out, I don't know the name of it, I didn't write it down, but he came out with another single in 2013. So like
a few years ago.
And he performed it on the Today Show.
Wow.
So like he is still trying.
He's still a working artist.
Yes, beef jerky and all.
Beef jerky, buses, and water, and songs.
So this next thing that happens is the most, like, if the Checkerlicious Express was a lot for you, this is just too much. This was too much for me. And I spent way too much time diving into this. I've read many articles, and I think I'm as knowledgeable as I can be about this topic.
Okay.
In 2013... Chubby Checker was in a legal battle.
Uh-oh.
Do you know anything about this?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. Was in a legal battle with Hewlett-Packard over an app.
Oh, my God.
That used his name. Chubby Checker.
Wait a minute. So there's... Wait a minute. Was the app called Chubby Checker?
Yes.
No, what did the app do?
What do you think the app did?
I think it did what I thought the name was at the beginning. Did it check for pudginess? No. Is it for penises? No, Jamie, no.
No.
Well, good, I'm glad he took him to court. At first I was like, oh no, this man is like an old man and he's being a crotchety old man. But now I'm like, no, how dare someone make an app with that name? God damn it. This is not why the internet was created.
Okay. Yes. The Chubby Checker app was an app that would guess without scientific research backing it, mm-hmm. as you could imagine, but you know, you might want to hope that they had some, that would guess the size of a man's business. He said that the app sued over, or he said that, he, well, oh my gosh, he sued the app,
yep.
Hewlett-Packard, for irreparable damage caused to him and was seeking $500 million.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
The app was removed.
Uh-huh.
But its layout and program could still be found online, so people could, like, you could still see what it looked like.
Okay. So wait, did he won? Did he win, or did they just take the app down?
They took it down, and it's still I don't really truly know. But. You could still, I looked it up, and, like, the tagline of this app was, any of you ladies out there just start seeing someone new and wondering what the size of their member is, all you need to do is find out their shoe size and plug it in. And then there's no need for disappointment or surprise.
I wish you could see the look on my face right now. Yeah. Okay, yeah. This is horrible. This is the worst.
This app prided itself for its international appeal. They were able to put in UK, US, or European shoe sizes.
Wow.
You put it in, and then it would pop up, like a box would pop up, and it would say, D-A. The chubby size is...
I just threw up.
Yep.
No.
Okay, so
this is a war crime.
This is ridiculous.
Okay.
But it's this is real life, people.
Oh.
All of this you didn't know you needed to know, but now you know. He asked for $500,000.
Okay.
But what I could find is that this app costs 99 cents. It's not even a free app.
Who? Okay.
I don't know who. I couldn't figure it out. But Emily, the app had only been downloaded 84 times.
Here's the thing. Is like, that makes me feel better because not that many people downloaded it. But that still means that there are 84 people that did that. 84 people. We're like, this is a good use of 99 cents and a use of my time and energy.
But because he made this whole lawsuit,
right?
The whole world.
Oh, no.
Was huge. So more people knew about it than needed to be.
Yes.
So things were settled, but details were not enclosed.
Okay.
So to end that little segment of it, I could not find what shoe size Chubby Checker wears.
Oh, I don't want to know at this point. I don't want to know.
So he's 77 years old now.
Yes.
But he is still, looking for gigs around. He's still married to his wife.
Cute.
So, he met his wife, just, a little bit of backstory. I realized I didn't cover it before. His wife is Katharina Lauders, and she was a Dutch model and beauty queen, and won the Miss World contest as the contestant from the Netherlands.
Wow.
They met in Manila and got married when he was 22 and she was 21. And this was so he had just basically become a billionaire because the twist came out. And they have 4 kids, but they're still married.
Cute.
And through all of that fame and I don't know.
Yeah.
There really wasn't much I could find on their love story. Especially when you're 22.
He.
Right.
This happened to him when he was 18, which is wild.
Most of our stories don't end up with them still together.
No.
They have 4 kids. And one of them is Misty Bass, or Bass. I don't know how to say her name. But she grew up to be a WNBA player.
Oh, interesting.
I don't follow basketball.
No.
For boys or girls.
Mm-mm.
But I thought that was cool.
That is cool.
But, I mean, he had a semi-normal life.
Mm-hmm.
He had some ups and downs.
Right.
But, overall, he's just
He's doing him.
He's doing him. So, good on you, Chubby Checker.
Good on you, Chubby Checker. Ernest
Everett,
Evans. Ernest Evans.
With his mama named Ertl.
Ertl. Amazing.
So that's the story of Chubby Checker. The more you know.
The more you know. After thinking about it, when I listened to We Didn't Start the Fire, I thought when Billy Joel said Chubby Checker, he said Chucky, like the movie Chucky.
And you might be thinking that because it's right before he says Psycho.
But this is not that.
No, it's definitely
Chubby Checker. But that app is more terrifying than Chucky.
That was a real thing. That really happened.
I mean,
it's not fake.
That's the big takeaway here is I don't even know what. Do what you will with that information,
yes,
America.
I felt very strongly that everyone needed to know.
Oh my God.
That was something that existed
internationally.
Internationally.
I don't know if you can hear Mrs. Pibb is screaming.
She'd be. She'd be ruling the world from the downstairs.
Mrs. Pip is angry. She's far away, but she's loud.
She makes her voice heard.
She has something to say about it. She actually started the fire.
Yes. For sure. Sorry, yes. Chubby.
Sorry, Move Chubby. Chubby Checker did not start the fire, but I would like to try his beef jerky.
I would, too. Maybe it could be a Christmas present.
Yeah. Santa will bring it. Yeah. In words of my mom, maybe Santa will bring it for you.
No. That would be amazing.
When she didn't want to buy you things. Which makes sense. Like, yeah. That's what you should say.
Yeah.
That's a good parenting move. Yeah. Pro tip. Just say Santa's bringing it and they'll probably forget about it.
Or hope that they do.
All right.
Till next time. We'll be back.
Bye. Wir sind hier zum Feiern.